Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving Father in heaven, we are again thankful for this day and for the blessings we've enjoyed thus far, but expecting more blessings to come, Father, for your mercy and grace abides with us, and we've enjoyed so much of thy blessings, and we ask you to continue to supply the things that we stand in need of. Father, we are thankful that you have spared us from the storms that have passed through much of this land, and remember those who are still suffering loss and those who are in the path of those disasters, and pray that you'd supply every need. We're thankful for these that have gathered here and pray that you'd bless them and their service, and just help us, Father, to worship and to praise thy great name. I pray, Father, for preaching grace as we look into your word. I pray that you'd give us all hearing grace that we might receive your message, and bless us, Father, to walk closer to thee in days to come. As the hymn writer has said, draw us nearer, nearer to the precious bleeding side of Christ Jesus our Lord. And Father, we pray that you would forgive our sins and shortcomings, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I invite your attention to the Old Testament book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 21, and I want to read verses 16 through 18. The book of Numbers is in many ways a census of the people of Israel as they traveled in the wilderness. And you'll find sections where there's a long list of hard-to-pronounce names. And I'll be honest, sometimes I struggle to get through those, but I have made it a practice to read through the Scriptures, the entire Bible, every year. And some of those portions, it's quite frankly hard to get through. But I know that God has a purpose in that, and in His time, I believe it will be beneficial for me. But the book does cover the travels of Israel, and there are some portions that I believe are very valuable for us as the portion that we'll look at this morning. Numbers chapter 21, and beginning at verse 16, God's word says, "And from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof God spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the wells, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves, and from the wilderness they went to Matanah." Now, this portion of Scripture comes following one of those many times that Israel complained to God. If you go back to the fourth verse of this chapter, Numbers 21 and verse 4, it said, "They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." So God is leading them the long way. They're going to have to go around the land of Edom. And I would suppose that it was a rugged land and hard travel. And they were much discouraged. And I spoke from this passage not too long ago and confess that we all have times of discouragement in our lives. We go through hard times and afflictions and all those things, and we get discouraged. But the problem was, Israel was, the people spake against God and against Moses. They let that discouragement lead them to the point they blame God and they blame Moses for all their troubles, and they spake against God. The Lord was very displeased, and He sent fiery serpents among them. One of the complaints they had, there was no bread and no water. And they said their soul loatheth this light bread, referring to the manna. God provided for them in a miraculous way, and they just got tired of it. Wasn't spicy enough for them. So they were very discontent, and they displeased God. But God gave them, God was merciful, He sent those fiery serpents, and yet He gave them a remedy. And had Moses to build that brazen serpent and lifted it up on a pole, and when they looked upon it, they were healed of the bite of the serpent. A wonderful picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross in the likeness of our sin, so that we might be spared the consequences of sin. But from that background and leaving there, they traveled again in the wilderness. And this time the Bible doesn't tell us that they were without water, but notice their complaint before God sent the fiery serpents is, there's no water and we loathe this light bread. There's no mention of Him giving them water up to that point. But still, as they're traveling on, they travel to Beer, and that word Beer simply means a well. And they probably gave it that name later as they look back, because that's the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together and I will give them water. Have you ever really stopped to think about their need for water as they traveled in the wilderness? You know, we've been blessed. We live in a land that we have abundant water. Even the pioneers, when they came into this part of the country, there's rivers and creeks and streams of all kinds. You don't have to go very far until you can find water. It wasn't like that in that land. Water was often very scarce. But think about all the people that are traveling together. It's been estimated that there was maybe 2 million or more of Israel traveling there, and they had flocks and herds, and in one place it said they had abundant flocks and herds. So think about the water that was required for all that great host of people. And there were times that they thought they were thirsty and they murmured and complained. God always provided water for them. And you know, Israel traveling in the wilderness, I believe, is a type and a picture how God deals with His people. In the book of 1 Corinthians, in the 10th chapter, in the writing of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and beginning at the first verse, Paul referred to the experience of Israel as they traveled in the wilderness. And he said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Paul's meaning in this is they all had the same experience. That cloud, the visible presence of God, was over all of them. They all went through the Red Sea. They all saw God's power and God's grace. God's mercy extended to every one of them. They did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Christ was with Israel in the wilderness, and He was there present with all of them. Verse 5 says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." So Israel traveling in the wilderness, that's a picture. Just like they were brought in a miraculous way from bondage in Egypt and traveling through that wilderness and God providing for them, we've been delivered from the bondage of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. They came out under the typical blood of the Lamb, but that's just a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ for us. I think we like to consider ourselves sometimes as having passed through the wilderness and we're in the land of promise now. God has given us a kingdom, and it's a great blessing, but so many times we don't live the kingdom life. We're not enjoying the kingdom blessings, and we're not manifesting the kingdom of Jesus Christ in our lives. We're still in the wilderness. And we have needs just like Israel in that literal wilderness. And we need water. And so many times in Scripture, water is an emblem of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, in the 7th chapter, as Jesus had gone up to the feast, I understand the feast of the Passover, in John chapter 7, and beginning at verse 37, God's Word says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus talks of the Holy Spirit as that water, as that living water that flows out, and it's abundant in those that believe on his name and those that come to him in their thirst. So in God giving Israel in the wilderness those wells of water, it's a picture of how he provides for us the Holy Spirit in our journeys in this, what is often a wilderness land. Notice that Numbers 21 again, verse 16, it says, from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together and I will give them water. In other words, God is saying to them, I've got a well for them that I'm going to provide for them. Have you ever noticed in Scripture how always God provided that water for Israel as they traveled, but in so many different ways? You remember when they first came out of Egypt, they came to the waters of Marah and it was bitter. They couldn't drink it. And yet God provided a remedy to make the waters sweet. Another time, they were thirsty and God instructed Moses to take his rod, strike the rock. He struck the rock and the waters came out abundantly. Another time he told Moses to speak to the rock and it'll give you water. That time he smote the rock again and still the waters came forth, even though there's a consequence and Moses was not allowed to enter into the land of promise because of that. Abraham was a great well digger. If you read his experiences, he traveled, he had to dig wells. I would guess that in that day, digging a well with probably just hand tools, that's probably very hard work. And yet he dug those wells and provided for his household. God had the water there for him, but he had to work to get it. You remember when Hagar fled from the presence of Sarah. She took a bottle of water with her, but that water ran out. And she and the lad were about to die of thirst. And the Bible says God opened her eyes and she saw a well. The well was there, but she had to have her eyes open to see it. Has that not been our experience so many times? God's grace is abundant in our life. Sometimes we need our eyes open to be able to see it. It's said in the days of Isaac that Isaac digged again the wells of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped those wells that Abraham dug. There's still water there, but the Philistines had stopped those wells, so you had to dig again. And I think that speaks to our experience in the world. You know, this world around us is trying to stop up the wells that God provided. Trying to stop our enjoying the blessings of the Holy Spirit and bless the blessings of communion and fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. So sometimes we have to dig. And again, that digging can be hard work. But there's water there. There's blessings there. I want you to notice in Numbers 21 again, in verse 16, the Lord spake unto Moses and said, gather the people together. This was for all the people. They had to be gathered together to enjoy God's blessings. We've seen how for Hagar, God, for her and for Ishmael, God provided water just for them. There was a well there and he opened their eyes. Abraham was digging wells, but it was for his household. Isaac digged again those wells. It was for his household. And this is for God's children. We all need the power of the Holy Spirit. And there are times that the only way we're going to experience it when we're gathered together as a people to worship and to praise God. Now I know he's able to bless us each one personally and individually. But there are special blessings for the church when she is assembled and with one mind seeking to praise and worship God. So we need to gather the people together. And then God says, I will give them water. In verse 17 says, then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. So to me, that indicates that the people had a desire for this well, for this water that God had provided. And their song, I believe, was a song of praise and a song of thanksgiving, but it was a prayer that God would do what He promised to do. So they sang. In the book of Psalms, in the 105th division, Psalm 105, I just read the first five verses. The psalmist says, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of His wondrous works. Glory ye in His name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works that He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. When we sing unto the Lord and we sing, spring up, O well, we desire His blessings and we praise Him. We remember all the times He's blessed us in the past. We call upon His name so that others can hear and we share this message of the gospel. This well, we're not given a lot of information concerning it, but evidently the well was there. But it was somehow hidden or covered or something. But it took the effort of the people and they came together, the princes and the nobles, the leaders of the people, were first in digging that well, and they dug with the staves. Most of the men carried a staff, and many times that staff was kind of an emblem of their position as the head of the tribe. And you know, I believe God's given us a position of leadership. If not us, who? Who's going to be the leader of God's children if it's not we who have gathered here? It is we who need to be digging to find that well and the water in that well. But then their song was, spring up, O well. To me, that pictures the artesian well. You know, I've never personally seen one, but I've heard read accounts that men would dig and they would hit the stream of water that would spring up, and often like a flowing fountain, the water would just be so abundant that you didn't have to reach down into the well, but the water came up. That's the way we ought to be desiring the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. So abundant that it just springs up to provide for the thirst of all God's children. Think about a well. I don't know how big that well was, but with enough water to provide for millions of people with flocks and herds. I can't even picture that in my mind, how abundant that flow of water was. But it was there, and it provided for their needs. Now, read this passage again. Does it tell us anywhere that they actually found water there? They sang, and they sang, spring up, O well. And they dig by the direction of the lawgiver, by that Moses direction, by the direction of God's man, they dig. Were they successful? Doesn't answer it right there, does it? It does in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 7, and beginning at verse 7, the words of our Savior. He said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. And I don't think it will hurt the Scripture any to say that he that digs finds water. There's a promise that when we seek God, seek His mercy and grace, ask our Lord for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, There's a promise that He will hear, He will answer our prayer. Now, it says that they went, and from the wilderness they went to Matanah. That word Matanah is a geographical place that they went to, but the name means a gift. God has gifts for His people, the gift of the Holy Ghost, and His gifts are precious. In the book of Proverbs, in the 17th chapter, the writing, I suppose, of Solomon, Proverbs 17 and verse 8 says, "A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth." So God brought them to a gift that every way it turns, it prospers. When we seek that living water that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, it is a gift that will prosper in our lives in every way. Now, I'm not talking about financial prosperity, although the Lord blesses us in those ways often. I'm talking about the prosperity of the soul and our relationship with God, our Lord and our Savior. He makes our life abundant. He makes our life fruitful. He makes our life a witness of His mercy and grace. He makes our life a joy when we seek the Holy Ghost. Now, I'll close with one final passage in the book of Isaiah, in the 12th chapter. Isaiah chapter 12, and beginning at the first verse. This passage begins with the words, "And in that day." When you read in prophecy, when it talks about "in that day," most often it's talking about the day of Jesus Christ, or the gospel age in which we live, and I believe that's the case here. "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." Now relate that to Israel in the book of Numbers. God was angry with them, sent those fiery serpents among them. And yet He comforted them by giving them water. See, His mercy was abundant in their life. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Now, notice verse 3, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." You know, for a long time I read that as the well of salvation, but that wells is plural. There are wells in our experience everywhere we go. God has provided for us. Sometimes He has to open our eyes so that we can see it. Sometimes we have to dig to find that water. Sometimes we have to dig again those old wells. But God provides for His people in a miraculous way so that we can say, "The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and has also become my salvation," so that we can with joy draw waters out of those wells of salvation. I pray that God would help us to see His abundant provision for us in the Holy Spirit, and help us to avail ourselves of the many gifts that He has given us for His name's honor and glory.